Magic 102.1, the People Station on the Mad Hatter, and I have the legendary Lenny Williams with me today. First of all, it's an honor. I salute you, sir, and I appreciate your time to even talk to me today. You're such a wealth of knowledge. I really don't know where to begin. We could begin at your childhood. We can talk about the Southern Soul that you're doing now. I also heard a rumor before that you've done some documentary work as well. I don't know if that's true or not. I've not ever seen it anywhere, but I heard that in passing somewhere that you might have received the Emmy or something like that for some documentary work, some music that you've done for documentary. So there's a lot of ground for us to cover, but let's start with, sir, you're looking good, and thank you for being here once again. I appreciate your time.
Yes. Let's get at it.
Yes, sir. So let me start here then, because you've had an opportunity. You're one of the very few artists that you've had relationships with a lot of the major record companies in your heyday. I think you started off at Fantasy. You did a little something with ATCO, a.k.a. Atlantic Records.
Motown,
because, you know, our favorite song is on that Motown record.
Yes, ABC.
MCA, ABC, I mean, what were those experiences like? You would go there and like, you know what? I kind of ain't feeling y'all. Have a good one. I don't know if that was the situation or not. So here it is, man. I get the chance to talk to the legendary Lenny Williams, and he can tell me how that was to be.
Well, Fantasy, I started off there as a, you know, a kid. Actually, I was underage, yeah, because you had to be 21 to sign a record label without your parents.
Wow. And I
was around about 19 or 20 or something like that, you know, age. And I was hanging out with John Fogerty, from Creedence Clearwater. He had a group called the Gollywogs, and Huey Lewis had a group called, what was his name of his group? Clover, and we, you know, just hang out. And so I did that, but I was real good friends with the owner. And so nothing wasn't happening. And so I just asked him to let me go. So I'm unencumbered. And then I might come up with something, you know, just being free. And as luck would have it, I hooked up with Larry Graham and then started hanging out with Larry. And then, but in the meantime, I went to Atlantic Records, and I just had a one-off deal with them, and I did that. And then I hooked up with
that
Larry.
That song is a fire song, too, sir. I think one side of it was you did a cover of a "People Make the World." People need to go find that record. I'm surprised rappers have not sampled that record. I am so surprised. That is a dope record. It is.
Oh, great. Really? Yeah,
I thought so. I know that might not be one of your favorites to perform, obviously, but I thought that was a dope rendition of that song.
But those were my struggling days. Those were my days trying to make it happen. You know, trying to get on, right? And so that didn't happen. And
yes,
so
sir.
With Larry and hung out with him and Sly for about a year, going on the road, just doing anything, you know, carrying bags, whatever, shining shoes, you know. Whatever it took, yo, Lenny, go to the store, get us something to drink, you know, and then finally hooked up with Tower Power and started writing for them at first, and then eventually became the lead singer. So then we were on Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
The thing with Warner Brothers was I never signed with Warner Brothers because just one night I just hanging out the studio and then it's like, okay, you the new singer. And Warner Brothers, they didn't know that they had a new singer until the record came out. So then they come get me to sign that contract.
Like, I did not know that part of this story. Okay.
Oh, no, I ain't signing that contract. We'll sign another contract, you know. So, so did that. Then I left there and went to went to Motown, stayed there for about a year and a half. And then things weren't happening. I talked to Suzanne DePass, and she was able to, you know, she said, okay, Lenny, we'll let you go do your thing. And then I went over to ABC, hooked up with Frank Wilson, who had been a staff producer from Motown. So basically, yeah. I'm still on Motown because I had the Motown sound. And me and Frank hit, you know, right off the bat and got my first gold record. And then after that, I think I went to they sold ABC, then I went to MCA, and after that, you know, I was on four or five different labels, you know. Now,
I just thought that was pretty extraordinary that you spent time at so many different places. I hear so many people, you know, seasoned artists that complained about being able to get signed to these labels, and seemed like there was an ease with you getting on labels. And maybe that's just the way it looks when you look at, you know, your repertoire there. Maybe that's just the way it looks.
Well, I had a good manager, Sandy Newman. May she rest in peace. Had a good manager, and then you know the good Lord was looking out for me, man. You know, had them praying grandmamas and grandpas and great praying mom and daddy, boy. I tell
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
That's when I look back and I'll be like, Lord, thank you for them prayers of my grandparents. I know I'm getting some of their blessings, you know what I mean? If it wasn't for their blessings and I was just going on my own record, oh man, I'd be over on the street corner somewhere, you know.
I want to go back to your Motown record. You know, in our community, this that because I love you. I'm you know, I know how you might feel a certain way about it. I don't know. We'll find out right now. But what was going on during that record? And was it the hit? Was it what it is now? Was it then?
So we did the record and I didn't have a talking in it or anything like that. And it was a little faster than the one that everybody knows, the big hit record, right?
Right.
And we did that. We recorded that up in San Francisco. And I think I had Ted Sparks playing the drums. And so then fast forward a little bit, his brother, Willie Sparks, the original drummer for Graham Central Station, Larry had fired him and then he started playing for me. And then he was like, man, you play too many ballads. I'm a funk drummer, so I'm gonna have to leave. But that cost, I love you, man. You need to break that thing down and slow it down. You need to put some talking in it, right? And so about a year, I was on the road and I was doing it all the time. So we broke it down, put the talking in it. And then we re-recorded it with Frank Wilson over on ABC. Mm-hmm. And the day that I sang that, Andre Crouch and his twin sister, Sandra, came to the studio, right? So I'm trying to make Andre shout, right? I'm trying to make him get the Holy Ghost and put $100 offering in the plate or something like that. So I was just digging down, trying to hit all them notes and stuff like that. I think that's the reason I hit that high note. And because I love you, trying to see if I could get get Andre to wave his hand or something.
Yeah.
But that's the story on that. Yeah. So it's like the two different versions. And so it's really interesting when I get my royalty checks, I get them. And one of them is for the Motown cause I love you. And one of them is for the ABC cause I love you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. So the one that we love is the ABC cause I love you.
Yes. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And doesn't have the talking in it. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Now, the talk part that you did in that song, mm-hmm. was there somebody in particular you was talking to or about?
Well, you know, I mean, a little bit of somebody that I was talking to, and then just talking to your friends, and and they listen to their woes when they breaking up with their woman. Things ain't going good, and just trying to remember, all the the stuff that would be a tearjerker, so to speak, mm-hmm. that you're just trying to hit all the salient points, so to speak. Yeah.
Was that a one take deal when you did that talk, that rap part?
Well, pretty close to a one take because I had been doing it on the road. Actually, I had in there, Frank had to cut it. I was preaching a whole sermon, man. I was like, yeah. Because if you listen to the one that they'd be having out on the internet when I did on the midnight, I don't know what it was, whatever.
Back in the 70s, the midnight, I forgot what it was, the midnight.
That's what I think it was, or something like that.
Yes, sir.
And my mom and my daddy had gone on in, and, I didn't have no, I was just pouring it on out, right, yeah. So you just like a dude, he break up with his woman and his mom and daddy died the next week, it's like, oh man, the world is just, tumbling down on me. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it. And I'm glad that you made the song. Do you, of those records during that time, do you have a favorite? And I know you still release records.
Mm-hmm.
You still put music out, but period of time, was there ever a favorite record of yours or a surprise record? Like, was that a surprise record?
Yeah, that was a surprise record because I had done it before and it didn't happen, And had done it on Motown and, nobody noticed it or anything like that. Then I turned around about a year and a half later and I do it over on ABC. So that was a surprise record. And I have to say that my favorite record is Cause I Love You, because that record has just been so instrumental in my life, my career. And also, as a, father raising children, the money that I made off of that song, has been tremendous. So
I can't be mad at that.
That could be Choosing You, and maybe Shooting Foo Foo Ooh, yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Did you ever have a chance or, I don't know if this ever happened with the Tower of Power, because I think a lot of times too, other than Cause I Love You, I think people always kind of wrap you into the Tower of Power. Have you guys ever had a chance to hit the road again and tour again?
Not really. There was one time period, ooh, Lord, I don't know, maybe 20 something years ago.
Wow.
Maybe even longer. We thought about getting back together, and I went to rehearsal, and then it just didn't feel right. And so then we kind of put a stop to that. It was just the one rehearsal. And then, but I did do, maybe about 5 years ago, they were up in town and they were playing at the fair. And so I went by and hung out, and then it's like, come on, let me sing a song. And so I wound up singing a couple of songs with them. So that was fun. You know,
nice.
Don't Change Horses and So Very Hard to Go and Still a Young Man. Yeah, so that was fun.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, what is hip is my jam, but okay.
It was hip that night too, yeah.
Okay, you did. Okay, my man. Now, talk to me. Is it true that you did some documentary work and got an Emmy or something?
I got some kind of award. I don't know if it was an Emmy. It could have been. I don't know. Yeah. Things down here, man, and I just put them in a box, and then my wife, she'd go get them and put them up and stuff like that. And I'd be like, I don't like to look at them because then I think I'll get lazy. And
wow.
I've accomplished, and you know, and I'm still hungry. I'm as hungry as the day I started. You know, back in the day when I was 18, 19. Yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm starving for success. And you know, there are things that I still want to do. Yeah.
Really? What could Lenny Williams, who you've signed to a lot of labels, you played music, you've done documentaries for television shows and whatnot, what more could you want to do or accomplish?
Well, I have my own label, so I'd like to develop, you know, some artists, you know. Okay. I mean, I'd love to have an artist that, you know, made the top 10, had top 10 record. You know, and it's something maybe I wrote, or maybe I discovered a songwriter or something like that. You know, I've had my opportunities, you know, and I had an opportunity back in the day that I could have managed Hammer. You know what I mean? I let that.
Wait a minute, stop. You can't just throw that out there and stop now. You could have almost managed Hammer. What happened?
I just overlooked him. I'm just so busy. My wife said that Stanley's on the phone. I'm like, oh, tell him I'll call him back. And then this kid Tucker that's real hot right now. I met him, 15 years ago.
You mean Candyland Tucker? Who y'all getting ready to be on this H-Town Blues Fest together? Yeah. That Tucker?
Yeah, I met that kid. 12, 13, 14 years ago, and maybe longer. And you came to one of my shows. I was at some little honky tonk down there in Lafayette or somewhere down in there. Right. And my shows, and gave me his phone number, and you know, Mr. Lenny. And then it was funny when he hit real big. I was on the show and he was headlining, right? And so I said, hey, let's hook up and let me get your number. And he said, you know, I gave you my number a long time ago. And so he giving me his number, and boom, it pop up, Tucker. I said, I've had this.
Oh, God.
But around here, you know, writing songs on the back of a paper bag and stuff. And, so I'm trying to be more alert, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes like when you're trying to do your own thing, you know, sometimes you just, you know, you look at people like Barry Gordy, and you say, wow, how a guy was so observant, you know, to be able, look at people and say, oh, that guy's got talent. Oh, that's a good looking guy. I think I'm gonna put him in the movies or whatever, you know? And, I'm trying to be more observant of—
It's a skill, it's a gift. It's
yeah, right.
It's a gift, man, yeah.
Talent, and then, getting in and you know, rolling my sleeves up and working with them, right, yeah.
You continue to perform. You still hitting these streets. You hitting these streets like you still 18, 19, sir. What is that all about?
Well, I like.
I don't want to put numbers out there, but you know, you've been putting out records for a long time, sir. Let me just say it like that.
Uh-huh. Well, number one, I'm hungry and I'm still creative, you know. So, you know, when my wife see me at, you know, around about 8 or 9 o'clock and I go put my gold front in and get my little sag on and get ready to hit them streets, go down to the hood, she said, oh, he out there trying to find out what's happening, beat the streets. Yeah, so you know, I found a lot of youngsters and just see what they're doing and try to get involved in the technology and the way that they're writing now, you know, and how they can it just amazes me how the subject matter of songs is, 97% of all songs is about love, and how that people can still write about it. And it's like, it's the same thing. And it seems like everything has been said, and but yet they can say it in a different way that makes it new. And it's just really amazing to me about songwriters and how they do their things. And I, you know, it's like people look at athletics and you say, oh, Michael Jordan was the GOAT, you know what I mean? But he can't do what he did back then. Mike Tyson can't do what he did back then. And you look at songwriters and you say, when was the last time that Paul McCartney had a hit? Or when was the last time that Smokey Robinson or Stevie Wonder wrote a hit? It almost seems like that it's cyclical. You know what I mean? Like you got your, and then once your time is over, then you, you know, you ain't really writing anything new. You know what I mean? And so I think the only way to continue to do that is to get in with the young folks when it's their time, so that, you know, maybe, you know, you might be able to still, you know, cultivate and you know, come up with some new stuff.
That's cool that you're open to being around young folks, because sometimes when folks start getting a little older, they're not into the new sound and the new wave, and they start staying away from it. Like, oh no, we didn't do it like that. We did it like this. It's cool that you're embracing all the youngsters, saying, you know what? No. I want to understand. I want to understand this technology, the way you're writing, why you're feeling the way you feel. So I salute you on that, man, that you're still able to stay fresh and want to, you know, merge talents and skills with some of these young folks out there, and also bring them up and see if you can help them out on their journey in this music business as well. What's the biggest takeaway or thing that you've learned in these years of putting out these incredible songs?
Well, I think that the one constant is that, you know, you got to work on yourself. You just got to be the best that you can be. And then the other constant is that there's always somebody out there trying to separate you from your money, and so you need to always have a good lawyer, good manager, or do a whole bunch of reading and stand on top of it yourself. You know, even if you have a good lawyer and a good manager, it's always good to stay on top of it, because I lost my manager, and but her philosophy was, she's gonna teach me everything. Another constant is that that I realized that you should have a good manager, you know, because people are always out here trying to, you know, get your money, separate you from your money, and things. And then, you know, if you don't, you know, even if you have a good manager, you know, just make sure you learn everything that you can yourself too. Yeah.
Are you rebranding yourself these days? Because I see you on a lot of these Southern Soul circuits, and I'm like, whenever I hear your name mentioned, I'm like, Lenny Williams. Okay, I guess. And I know you got a couple, you know, I call them Southern Soul songs. You know, like Sugar Daddy was Southern Soul. I mean, you know the vibe. Is that something that you're trying to rebrand yourself as? Are you like, you know, I'm interested in this. Music is soul. All music is soul music to you, and this is where I'm at right now?
Well, I'm from the South. You know, I mean, I live in California, but I was born in Arkansas, and my daddy was born in Louisiana, and mama born in Arkansas. So, you know, I'm a Southern boy. And, you know, I like the music. I grew up listening to blues and everything like that. And so I just started doing a lot of shows in the South. And it seemed like, you know, the folks in the South like me, you know. And so I was down there doing a bunch of shows. And, you know, so then I'm hearing, you know, next thing I know, I'm on the show with Johnny Taylor, or I'm on the show with Tyrone Davis. Right. And Bobby Blue Bland, and, you know, B.B. King and all that. So then I'm like, okay. And then I noticed that, you know, I was noticing the music that I was singing and the music they were singing and the different kind of reactions they was getting. And then I'm doing shows with Denise LaSalle, and, you know, and they start playing that beat, and everybody get to, and then I'm playing This Time Is Real. They liking it, but they ain't got the same cake, you know, don't have the same. I said, oh, I got to get with it. So I start, you know, I'm starting buying the music. I'm starting listening to it, dissecting it with my friends and stuff. It's, oh no, you got to go, you know, we got to be like this, you know? And so I just started writing, and then people started liking the songs, and phones started ringing, and, you know, I'm right there with them, you know?
Lenny Williams said, I will not be left out, baby.
No, I want some of that too. Yeah. I want a piece of that chicken.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Well, I so much appreciate you. H-Town Blues Festival going down in H-Town. Obviously, you're on stage with Tucker, Pokey Bear, yourself. It's going to be great. What can the folks expect when they see you do what you do?
Oh, man, we're going to have a good time. You know, we're going to sing our songs. We're going to hit all the notes. You know, we're just going to have us a good time. Yes, right. Yeah. And everybody on the show is spectacular, fantastic. And it's just a great, great show. And I'm just proud to be a part of it. Julius Lewis, you know, and Rogers Redding bringing the heat and putting the show together. And I'm just proud to be a part of it. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Williams, let me say again, man, thank you so much. Thank you for your years of music. It was not just my parents' music, I feel like. It was my music, too. And I just want to thank you for creating it and allowing us to share it, man. Thank you so much, brother.
Yeah, and I got a Texas wife, too. Yeah, right. 47 years. I've been trying to get rid of it, but she won't keep chasing me around. Yeah.
47 years. Tell you what, tell the people, what is it? Give them a chunk of knowledge about what it takes to keep a woman for 47 years, sir.
Well, you just got to, you know, try to come home every night. You know, you come home every night. My grandfather and my grandmother was married 70-something years. He said, that's a long time to be looking at the back of one black woman's nappy head. He said, what I do is when that girl get on my nerve, he said, I go out the front door and I come in the back door. Sometimes it take me 10 minutes and sometimes it take me a couple of days. He said, but I always come back. Yeah. So I just, you know, just stay close, you know, stay close to the cross, stay close to the house, you know, and next thing you know, it's like, I can't even believe that we've been together 47 years. It don't even seem like it, but
wow,
I know we got a 40-year-old daughter. So, you know, so it's like, okay, I get it. It's real. Alt, you know, the old folks, they start with the zero. They say alt, then they get to one, two, you know, and it kind of stuff, right? Yeah.
Mr. Williams, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate your time, man. Thank you, man. And salute.
All right.
Take care, bro.
Have a good one now.
Yes, sir. You too.